Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning, Chicago. Justin Kaufman here with Dave Bennett. Steve Cochran Show here on WGN Radio. Good to have you this morning. It's a beautiful morning here in Chicago. Wacker Drive just looks amazing. You know, Dave Bennett, good to see you.
This is the nicest time of the year, Justin, because it's the only time we're sitting here at 6:10 in the morning and the sun is up and it's beautiful. I mean, there's so many mornings and Steve knows this upstairs. I mean, you come in and it's dark and it's
pitch black,
yeah,
right?
10 below and it's just
sometimes 20 below.
Yeah, sometimes. But it's our first view in the morning is looking out and it's gray and it's cold and it's dark, and now we come out, the sun shining, the sky is blue.
Well, you know, I do the 7 to 11 o'clock show, the download here.
So you don't know anything else.
I don't know anything about it. But I will say, I forget how beautiful Chicago is in the morning. When you come in at this time of the morning, 5 o'clock, you get a chance to see, you know, a Wacker Drive that is rarely seen.
I'm just excited when we move to the new place and I have a window.
Yeah, there you
Woo-hoo,
go.
I window. Can look at the river and I can see traffic. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. I do have a window here, but it looks into the hallway.
Yeah, but that's not bad. You get to see us all passing
by to go to the bathroom in the front studio.
Mm-hmm. Windows are a little bit overrated, especially when you get the guy around 10:30, 11 o'clock at night that just likes to pound on it.
Yeah, you see stuff that probably the rest of us do
well,
not
this
on
is,
a regular
yeah,
basis.
In the morning, there's much more foot traffic on Michigan Avenue, which is awesome, but everybody's rushing to get to their job. They're late to something, right? They got their coffee in their hand. They're not stopping to listen to the show. At night, it's much more of a leisurely pace. And you also get the people who are like, I can't believe I've had 40 beers.
Did you ever have a streak? Did you ever have a streaker go by?
I have not. I've had that twice, and it's not necessarily streaker, just lifting shirts for
bodies. Oh, gotcha.
Sort of flashers.
But
flashing,
the, yeah, that's what they're called.
Yeah. Bob Collins had one. That, a regular. What was her name?
Oh, the one Danny Maxfield used to talk about.
She had a nickname. I can't remember her name.
I've never had that situation before, and it is so not exciting.
Right.
When you're working and you're like, what was that? Don't know if that was necessary. The person automatically feels embarrassed and they run away and you're like, I don't know what had just happened.
And you can't hide. I mean, you got to stay and do your job. You can't.
I tell this to a lot of people who come on the show because they get intimidated by being in the showcase studio, that there's a social contract. And the social contract is that someone will come up and they will enjoy it. They might knock on the window. And if they do, they're just looking for your attention. And not unlike a zoo, very similar. Mm-hmm. And you give them their attention, maybe you give them a wave. I've learned how to be able to concentrate on what Dave is saying and at the same time wave with my left hand to the people who are at the window. If it goes past that point, if it goes to another knock or the person wants to talk, then the social contract has been broken. I'm working. And that's where you get to a point where, like, you don't get any more of my attention.
Are you suggesting we're trained monkeys sitting in
yes.
here?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Stay with
do
the
you
monkey
have to
thing.
Go there again?
I just
huh?
brought the monkey thing back.
Okay. Well, we got a great show this morning. I'm excited. We, of course, you know, there's so much to talk about. Dave will be giving the reports, the sports reports. When we start there, the White Sox with a big win last night, a come-from-behind win. And the only reason we would ever lead with the White Sox score over, you know, the Cubs playing the Indians, huge rematch.
I mean, I think we go both ways on that. But
is that this was kind of unheard of, the idea of a come-from-behind win for the White Sox, and which they held on.
Yeah, they hadn't done it since last Thursday.
two of their wins come from behind. But what I wanted to ask you, because we don't get a chance to talk about it that often, and I sit right next to you and I want to chomp at the bit to jump in, is James Shield has put together a pretty good year. He may not show it in the stat column, but he continues to show that he might have some trade value coming up here.
And in his last two starts in particular, he's pitched well, and he's kept them in the game into the eighth inning, and those are the games they've come back and won. So, yeah, I think he's...
So do you think that there might be a chance that the White Sox have some value in James Shield, and he might be someone who can ship for prospects at the deadline?
I would think so.
I would, too. Whatever Dave says, I agree with.
Thank you, Steve.
Steve Cochran, ladies and gentlemen.
As usual.
You didn't become sports director just by phoning it in. I mean, come on.
Actually, I was at Wrigley last night watching the starting pitcher walk six guys in 2 2/3 innings.
I saw the first inning, and I was like, this is going to be a tremendous matchup.
Hey, how was your kale pizza?
It was great.
Okay, awesome. We got to go. Time for the top six. And it goes like this.
From the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't get your kicks. With the top 666. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one. It's beautiful. I was just outside looking up at the sky, drooling like a turkey in a rainstorm. It was fantastic. It is fantastic. Steve, the high for the next several days will be in the hundreds.
We'll be in the 80s, maybe 87 by Saturday, maybe 90 by Sunday.
How about that?
85 on Monday for Memorial Day. Looks like it's going to be dry.
How about that?
Yep. Nice.
Next, President Trump's opened the door to a phased dismantling of North Korea's nuclear arsenal, backing away from the demand that it's a complete abandonment. This now sounds like this meeting's not going to happen. Or let me just put it the way the president put it yesterday. It might happen. It might not. It could.
I've done a ton of deals.
Could not.
That's my favorite.
I do deals. I don't do deals. The president left a wide door open yesterday that it may not go down in June. Could happen in July, maybe August, September. Who's available in October? So that's where we stand on that. Next, Trump lawyer Michael Cohen's partner pled guilty in a deal requiring cooperation. In other words, he flipped. This guy's called the taxicab king in New York. He's got tons and tons of the medallion business in New York. And, of course, Uber has had a huge footprint in New York like it has in Chicago. But this guy was Michael Cohen's right hand, left hand, and knows a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And he flipped.
Not surprised.
When are they going to get to you? Because you're going to flip,
yeah,
Justin, I think it's
something. The minute I get approached.
You're flipping?
I'm flipping.
You're not even looking for a deal.
I'm not even looking.
You're just
going to
flip.
I'm sorry.
Next. Chicago City Council meeting promises to be a big crowd today. The police union's calling on members to descend on City Hall to protest the Presidential Center proposal, which has backers and proponents. Police union's in this. Why?
The police unions are in this because the FOP has not had a good negotiation with the City of Chicago. So they are asking, the FOP are asking for them to come down to try and ignite or the talks to get back to the table, because right now there's only been two meetings, and I believe the FOP has said it's very frustrating and they want to get back to getting a deal done for the police.
So are they using the Obama Center hype to just get
I'm
attention
not even
for
sure
them?
They care about I mean, they do. They'll be there. But you're right. What's going to be interesting today is you're going to have a faction of police union there for their cause. You're going to have a faction of people that are there for the Obama Center.
That's what I'm talking about. Some people are there to cover the Obama Center thing.
I think
and the police
what's going to happen is it's going to be a lot of people who are like, I know you.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not necessarily there for the same reason.
Next. Congress has agreed to water down the Dodd-Frank law passed back in 2010. Remember 2008? We had a couple of financial problems. All the money was gone. All of it. Yeah. I don't know if you had any. If you had any money in 2006, by 2008, it's gone. Just gone. It all went away.
David Hochberg would be great on this because I've had friends, in the mortgage business who have said that.
Do you know the hat, by the way?
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah,
it's the Rockford Ice Hogs hat. They're down 0-3.
Yep, it's gonna be all right.
All right, there you go. The I think the big issue here is that mortgage lenders and people who work in small banks will tell you this is a good thing, that there was too much regulation, that just because a government came in and regulated because of the bad stuff that happened in 2008, it wasn't the right way to
regulate. No, they overregulated, and every small and mid-sized bank owner will tell you the same thing.
That might be a good thing.
Yeah, there is good things that could come out of this. But the small and mid-sized banks, the reason you couldn't get a loan for years is because of the restrictions that were placed. Right. On small and mid-sized banks, when the fact is the largest banks are the ones that should have been hammered, and those guys should have gone to jail.
It's funny that you're mentioning David Hochberg, because he's just texting me about coming on to fill us in on the Rockford game that he was at last night.
Didn't Dave just fill us in?
I know, but
Dave just filled us in, and I'm wearing the hat.
He also said he's got more swag for us.
I love it. I loved it. Our expert in the mortgage industry, and the day that they may roll back Dodd-Frank, is like, let me tell you about the Rockford Ice Hogs.
Listen, he's multi-talented. And finally, there's a possibility that Balbo Drive could be renamed. Now, we've got some funky names for streets in this town. Ready, Dave? Spell Goethe.
G-O-E-T-H-E.
Just like it sounds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Balbo Drive may be renamed Ida B. Wells.
Which would be great.
Yeah, it's appropriate.
Don't we already have a Wells Street, though?
We do. That's
we don't have an Ida Avenue.
No, that's true. We could do Ida Avenue.
Do we have a B Street?
I guess they'd have to use the whole name, Ida B. Wells. Ida B. Wells.
I just start with, I think, when did the numbers start? Maybe at 8th? Ace Street is the
well.
The
is,
first
anybody really, is anybody
Street.
Really? Is anybody really? They have deep ties to Balbo Drive.
Well, it's a what was it? A fascist from Mussolini was brought over here. There's a statue. There's a name. There has been a lot of controversy over why that was named that for someone who caused a lot of trouble.
So why do we need it? We don't need it.
We don't need it. It's about time it got bounced.
And Ida B. Wells would be a nice tribute.
That would be. Yeah.
It's 6:20. That's your top six.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Andre's off today. She took care of her mom, who had an unfortunate treadmill accident. It was a treadmill, wasn't it?
It was a treadmill.
Oh, no.
How many times have we said to the 75-year-olds in our life, don't text while you're treadmilling?
How do you know she was texting?
Word is she was looking at her phone.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Love roller coaster. OJs. You know, Mary Sandberg's in charge of our television department, and I should say Mary Vanderbilt's in charge of our television department. And, you know, Mary, I've been trying to watch The Voice and Idol a little bit.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I can't do it. The kids that sing, they're fantastic. I believe a 7-year-old won on The Voice last night.
Wow. 14.
14? Mm-hmm. She's very good. Mm-hmm. She's very, very good. But the judges, it's a judge's show. It's a judge star centric show. It's the chemistry between the judges. It's the patter between the judges. And every assessment of every artist is the same. Oh, Justin, you are going to be a star. Oh, you are fantastic.
Thank you.
I don't know how this hasn't happened for you already, but we are so lucky to have you here.
Blessed. Doesn't it get old?
That's my point.
Don't you miss the days when Simon would just rip these kids to shreds?
Ruin their dreams.
Yeah.
I just got done watching Idol because that ended this week, too. And I think a 20-year-old won, Maddie Poppy. And she divulged at the last show that she's dating the other semifinalist.
Oh, boy.
That was a mess. I know. It was pretty cute. But, you know, Katy Perry drove me nuts the entire time. She's just so weird. She's got the antics and she's odd. But they all say, yeah, they're right. Lionel Richie said the same thing the whole time. And
they get past the original part on Idol and even on The Voice. But once
it's too long.
Even 10% into those shows, every artist is the greatest thing ever. Yeah.
And it's just too long. I mean, these poor artists lose their voices by the end. Yeah. They've been singing for 4 months straight.
And they all sign these Colonel Tom contracts where they can have... Yeah. Kelly Clarkson's spoken about this. Kelly Clarkson... Huge star.
I love her.
Her first album that she actually owned was 7-8 years ago.
Yeah. They give you like a 10-year deal or something.
It's like 10 years we own you.
And she at least had the talent to last that long. I mean, some of them don't. You know, they win and then it's like, what happened to them?
I'm surprised at this day and age that there aren't more lawyers, entertainment lawyers that are representing the clients or the
kids
that come in because they've learned over the years about these contracts.
Michael Avenatti. Michael Avenatti will be all over there. Michael Avenatti can't get enough TV time.
American Idol with Michael Avenatti.
With Michael Avenatti, you'll host. At 6:28. Listen, I thank you very much for the support you give us, and you listen every day, and I couldn't appreciate it more. But we just had a really good time on the show yesterday. Here's a few hits from yesterday's show. It's great to see. Mac McAnally.
My buddy Kenny Chesney called me up just out of the blue and said, what are you doing? And I said, nothing, because I'm honest. He said, we're going to cut one of your songs, and I don't care which one. He says, what song you want to sing? Mac, I know a bunch of your songs. And I said, doesn't matter to me, Kenny. I know a bunch of my songs, too. He said, I don't have kids yet, but when and if I do, what you said to your kids in this song down the road, I would like to say to mine. Let's do that. And you sing a second verse, and we'll make it a duet. And it ended up being a number one record and getting a Grammy nomination. And wonderful things happen from it.
There you go. Here's Mac on WGN.
Down the road, her mama wants to know, am I washed in the blood or just in the water? Her daddy wants to know that I make enough to take his daughter down the road.
Got a lot of
times I'll be walking down the street minding my own business, and people will go, Helio? I go, no, Steve. Because we get confused for each other a lot.
Exactly.
We
look resemblance a lot. Is crazy.
It's incredible, isn't it?
A lot. Yeah. It's nuts.
Even the accent, huh? It's perfect.
Yours being fake, mine being real.
The toughest thing when you go into a wedding or nightclub or everybody's waiting, come on, you start, oh, yeah, time for you to start dancing. On. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah. Once voted sexiest race car driver by People Magazine. Oh, and then you did the ESPN The Body issue.
So my mom got so upset with me. I said, Mom, because she didn't see the actually piece. She just heard about that I was a naked in a magazine. And what are you doing naked in a magazine? I didn't raise you to be like that. Mom, relax. It's a very respectable magazine. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about ESPN. Yeah. And she's like, no, she was not.
She just heard naked.
She just heard naked, and that's it.
She's like, levels
good
of naked
Brazilian
in
mom. Yeah, she doesn't just
she
what are you
was
talking about?
Not happy.
And God bless you. Be safe. Drive hard. Go win.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, guys.
I'll buy the milk.
Yeah, no problem.
So Dave and I are fighting about monkeys.
I wouldn't say we're fighting.
It doesn't matter what the story was about. Did the monkey have a name? And you snapped at me and said, why wouldn't the monkey have a name? So what are you, king of the monkeys? What do you want?
Why?
What
I wouldn't exactly boss? Say I snapped at you.
And if I hear one more person do the stories and say, oh, someone went bananas.
Actually, that's why Andrea is off today. I suspended her for punning.
Thank you.
There's one too many puns. 6:31, that's yesterday. We got a whole bunch coming up today. And thank you again for listening to this 1,152nd edition of the Steve Cochran Show. Karen Conti coming up on the law. And really an amazing American, General John Borling, in the 7 o'clock hour. And another fine American himself, Mark Slaby, one of the most generous guys I know, also in the 7 o'clock hour. That's just part of the program today. And the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
6:43, Karen Conti every Sunday night on the radio here. Good morning, Ms. Conti.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine because I'm on my way to New Orleans in about 1 hour.
Oh, congratulations. I know how much you love to travel.
I do.
All right, so Justin Kaufman's here, and I don't know how well you and Justin know each other.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Justin.
But he has a lot of legal troubles. So I think he's laundering money. I'm pretty sure he's stealing from the company.
It's a scheme. I mean, that's his strategy, but it's a scheme. Anyway.
I don't think you can call stealing from the company a strategy. So if Justin or any other criminals would like to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or WGN at AskKarenConti.com.
All right, something popped up later in the day yesterday, and you know the Supreme Court better than most people I know, or better than everybody I know. And the Supreme Court made a decision on employment in the country, which it's a big deal, but it's a little difficult to understand. Is there a way to boil it down?
Sure. It basically upheld the right of an employer to have an arbitration clause. And this doesn't sound like a bad thing, but let's just say that the employer is sexually harassing or not paying you minimum wage or not paying you overtime. You have all kinds of rights to go to court, and you have all kinds of rights to go to different free places that our government has, like the Illinois Department of Labor, in order to have your claim heard. And so this basically takes your right away and puts you in arbitration, which is expensive, number one. You have to pay the arbitrators because it's not in court. And there's a possibility that the employer could kind of control who those arbitrators are. So you are basically forced to forego your rights that everyone else has in order to go into this expensive arbitration. What that's going to do is it's going to have people who maybe are just owed a little bit of money. Maybe it's $200, but to them it's a lot of money, and the employer's doing something wrong. They're just not going to go to arbitration because it's not going to be worth it. So this is a real pro-employer ruling that is going to really change the way the laws are enforced.
Now, did you say this upholds the rules as it stands now for private employment, or this changes things?
Well, I mean, it changes things because the employer can basically force you into these private arbitrations. And again, some of the places that you can go for your wrongs, like the Illinois Department of Labor, or let's say if it's a harassment claim, you can go to the Illinois Human Rights Department. And they do things free there, and they can investigate. And if they find that there is mass discrimination, they can do things other than just give you money. They can issue injunctions, and they can tell you to stop doing things, and they can issue attorney's fees and punitive damages. But in arbitration, those remedies are not there. And so basically employers are going to get away with things that they probably aren't, that haven't been in the past.
If you leave the job, would you have a civil avenue to take or not?
No, this would be binding on you when you leave. So if you got fired or you quit, the arbitration clause would still be enforceable.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a lot of worst-case scenario views. Give me the other side of it. Why is it a positive for the employers?
Well, because arbitration is a good way to resolve things. No one wants to go to court, and the courts are crowded, and this is a way to kind of streamline the decisions on these kinds of things. But again, I'm not convinced that the employers are going to have arbitrators that are going to be neutral, and it's expensive. You know, who has the money when you're fired from a job or you're not getting paid minimum wage or you're being sexually harassed? Who's got the money to pay not only a lawyer, but you're going to pay for the arbitrators to decide your case? Again, I just see this as a very negative thing, and because I think good employers, it's not going to affect them at all, but it is going to help those employers who are really messing with small-time employees.
This is a Supreme Court decision yesterday. One last, and it was 5-4, by the way, along the usual lines. But my confusion here, before we wrap this part of this up, is who pays for the arbitrator? Just the employee? Because, or does the employer pay half?
No, you know, it depends. There's some arbitration clauses that'll say employer pays. Some say they both pay 50%.
But if the employee pays, the employer couldn't be in the middle of picking the wrong arbitrator.
The employer,
right?
Gets to pick the arbitrator. That's the issue.
Why would that be? How's that possible if I'm paying for it?
I mean there's organizations of arbitrators like the AAA, and a lot of construction people use AAA. It's not that you get to choose the arbitrators, it's that you choose the arbitration company, and in so doing, some of those companies might be stacked a little bit on one side or the other. It's going to be case-by-case basis, different kinds of arbitration, different kinds of rules. It could be that the employer pays for some of it, and half of it, probably. But again, then that'll be tested by the Supreme Court. Is it okay to make the employee pay for arbitration if they want their claim to be adjudicated?
Donald Trump, can a sitting president be indicted? We don't know, do we?
No, we don't know. But what's interesting is, because there's never been a ruling on this by the U.S. Supreme Court, we haven't even really gotten close. But the Department of Justice has its own rules that apparently say just that. Could those rules be changed? Maybe. But I don't think, as we sit here, that the Department of Justice can indict a sitting president. Now, what happens?
Hey, but this is the part I don't understand, because obviously the founding fathers didn't come up with this scenario. But if I'm president of the United States and I walk out in front of the White House and shoot a tourist, how could I not be indicted for that?
Well, I think that the rules say that, you know, when you have a, remember when President Clinton was being impeached and mm-hmm. he was being deposed?
Should have been kicked out of office. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that out loud?
You know, it was a civil case that happened before he was president. I think a lot of people decided that was a real distraction for the country. And if you can imagine other countries looking in and seeing a president being indicted or sued or giving depositions, that's really it's not a good thing, because we're leader of the free world here, right? So I think the idea is that you don't want to bog down a president with litigation and with indictments. Now, clearly, if a president murdered someone, he'd be impeached immediately, and then he would be indicted. Because once a president is not sitting anymore, those laws don't apply, and he would be certainly be charged with that crime. So
the damage, this is the ultimate white-collar crime. The damage that Donald Trump is doing to this country, in my opinion, is tantamount to a list of felonies too long for us to get in before you leave. So I don't understand how the Supreme Court wouldn't come down on the side of the law, because the Supreme Court in this case is not the House Republicans who continue to be shills for the president.
It is really amazing, but my guess would be, if they're really going after him, and if he's the target, and if he's obstructed justice, and if he's colluded and done all those things that people are talking about, what's going to happen is they're going to hand it over to Congress, and they're going to expect Congress to impeach him, and then they're going to indict him. So that is probably their agenda, if they have one.
Who's Mueller going to indict next? And again, Justin stealing from the company.
Well, there's a Which guy company? Named Roger Stone, who's a longtime associate.
You see the Harry
Trump,
Potter glasses on Roger Stone?
Yeah.
Yes. They are kind of Harry Potter-ish.
Yeah.
But I think he's next. I think he acknowledges that he might be indicted. I think that Michael Cohen is on the list. I think he knows that he's on the list. I think, you know, again, up the trunk there, I don't know, maybe Jared Kushner, maybe that's where they're heading. They're heading toward the family, in which case, you know, Trump might then say, you know, try to protect his family. I doubt it. But I think that Mueller is working steadily, and I think that he wants to talk to Trump. I don't think it matters if he talks to Trump, because I think all of this evidence is going to come from other people, and either he obstructed justice or he didn't. And I think we know what he did in firing people and in saying to different people in the government, you know, I don't want you to prosecute and I don't want you to pursue this. So I don't know. And I think if he refuses and it goes to court, then we're going to delay this by going up to the Supreme Court, and then this is going to be hanging over everyone's head for a long time. So there's a lot of moving pieces here, and I do still have a lot of confidence in Mueller, because I think he's a good man and I think he's good at what he does.
And remember, the President of the United States said to Lester Holt on national television, I fired the FBI director to put an end to this Russian story. If we all agree that the Russian government interfered with the election and the investigation was about that, and the president said on national TV to Lester Holt, I did this to put an end to that, that's obstruction.
Right. You don't really need much more, because it's all about intent. What was your intent? Did you have good intent or bad intent? And he said numerous things to numerous people that would lead a reasonable person to believe that his intent was not good.
Enjoy your trip to New Orleans. Bring me back some beads, will you?
I will.
All right, there you go. Karen Conti, Sunday nights on 720 WGN. General John Borling coming up. He's an amazing guy. Looking forward to talking to him. I mean, we're giving away this truck. Now, are you going to get the truck at any point, Justin?
I would like to, just so I could drive it around downtown in rush hour.
Your son would love it.
Oh, I know, right? We'd reenact the Teen Wolf scenes on the top of the van. Can you do that? You can't do that? Oh, man, life has changed.
He would surf.
The laws have changed.
You'd have him surf the truck?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I grew up in a pickup family.
Your mom would be happy about that.
Yeah, lots of rides in the back of the pickup, which would be child abuse. But yeah.
Were you in the back? Yeah. Loose and bouncing around in the back?
We would.
Wait, how old are you?
I lived in Wonder Lake.
41?
43.
43.
So, growing up in Wonder Lake, which is northwest, 90 miles from here, so 60 miles. People get mad at me when I don't remember this. But it was very farm town when I grew up, so it was a lot of pickup trucks. We had a nice Chevy pickup, and we would spend a lot of time bouncing around, going from block, you know, just a little bit. We wouldn't go hours on trips, but yeah.
We had pickup trucks as well, and in the 70s, Dave, you may remember this. You would take the seat belts and stuff them down in the seats, because otherwise it'd be uncomfortable when you sat on them. And then you would get out of the seat because someone, a grown up, needed to sit there. And then you would get in the back, where you would bounce around without any safety situation at all. Right. And then when you got to wherever you're going, you would take out your go-kart that you would then ride with no helmet. Yeah. You know, we called that the 70s.
Yeah.
You're just getting started.
I mean, yeah. That was
bike helmets? Who wore bike helmets?
No, please. And that was one morning. 7 o'clock, and we'll come back with the news next. Steve standing by on 720 WGN. It is an honor to welcome our next guest, especially heading into Memorial Day weekend. A few years ago, at my friend Mark Slaby's Patriot Golf outing, handsome guy comes up to me with a big handshake, one of those handshakes that'll rip your arm off. And I realized that I had just had the honor of shaking the hand of General John Borling. General Borling is, he's more than an American war hero. He is a philanthropist. He is an author and is a retired general of the United States Air Force of 37 years. It is an honor to welcome him to the program. General, good morning.
Steve, it's good to be with you. I didn't rip your arm off. We just had a firm, manly handshake.
You're right. What am I talking about?
We were playing golf. Maybe I wanted to injure you so I could make a dollar or two out there. Right? Hey, Justin, Steve.
It's
a real pleasure to be with you.
Well, that's nice.
You mentioned the significance of the timing, so...
Yeah, well, with Memorial Day weekend coming up, you know, I think we do a pretty good job on the show of recognizing and talking about service-related events and activities, and you know that our mutual friend Mark Slaby is going to be with us later in the hour to talk about an organization we both feel strong about.
The Patriot Education Fund is a wonderful thing that Mark and his wife Dana have started, and you've been so generous with your time, Steve, supporting it over the years. So I look forward to seeing you out at Medan on the day after Memorial Day.
It's a great day, and we'll talk more about that later in the hour. But I want to talk about something you are very heavily involved with year after year after year, and that's the John Logan Memorial Day ceremony. What's the story here?
Well, 2018 is a significant year. You know, this is the 200th year of the Illinois recognition of statehood. It's also the 150th anniversary of Decoration Day / what we call it now Memorial Day. And it was established by Major General, I'm partial to Major Generals.
I bet you are.
John A. Logan, who was a Civil War general, distinguished Civil War general from Southern Illinois, in fact, credited with kind of keeping Illinois, that part of it anyway, in the Union, it wounded many times. After the war, he'd been a congressman before the war. After the war in 1868, as the head of the Grand Army of the Republic, which was kind of like the VFW American Legion all rolled into one, the Civil War group, he promulgated General Order 11, which established Decoration Day, and it stuck, and over the years there's been legislation back and forth, but General Logan's statue is at 900 South Michigan in Grant Park. Augustus St. Gaudens, the great memorial sculptor, did the piece. It was inaugurated in 1897. There were 250,000 people in the street on Michigan
Avenue.
How
about that?
Logan is the unsung hero of the 19th century. You know the three people that are named in the song, our state song, Illinois, Illinois?
No, I do not.
Lincoln, Grant, and Logan.
How about that?
You know, we got in Chicago, Logan Square. There's Logan streets all over Illinois towns. Well, we gather at 11 o'clock. It's a free ceremony, open to the public, and commemorate Memorial Day.
Where do you meet, General? Is it at the statue itself?
We meet at the statue at 9th and Michigan. The public is welcome. There is a luncheon that follows. It's invitation only. You got to pay for that, and that's already booked and closed. We are we'd go to the Blackstone, and we are
that's a good problem to have.
Subscribe for that. The ceremony for an hour, including a formal wreath laying ceremony by all the services, by the first responders, by the Daughters of the American Revolution. This year, for the program that lasts about an hour, we will have the Chancellor of the Lincoln Academy of Illinois, Dr. Stephanie Pace Marshall, also a member of the Bicentennial Commission, talking about the significance of those activities. We will have Dr. Mark Depew, who's the head of oral history from the Abraham Lincoln Museum and Library down in Springfield, talking about the significance of World War One. You know, it's 100 years. It's the centennial of the conclusion of World War One, that terrible, terrible conflict that really shouldn't have ever happened and spawned so much more conflict in the 20th century.
Yeah, I mean, it would the tipping point, the domino that fell that set up all of the troubles, you could argue, from a historical standpoint.
Yeah, and you know how many people, let's just give you some numbers, how many soldiers on both sides were killed in World War One? Any idea what the number might be?
Not a clue.
10 million.
How about that? And think about the population of the world 100 years ago. That is a huge number.
And 16 million wounded. That's just World War One. I mean, the carnage of the 20th century that we've lived through has been astounding for the human condition. But we gather because of the seriousness of it to commemorate our war dead on Memorial Day. And then, by the way, not to interrupt you, but the last speaker will be, because it is the 150th anniversary of the promulgation by General Logan of the day, we'll have Mrs. Logan.
Excuse me?
We have Mrs. Logan.
Based on John Logan's age, that's a neat trick.
Well, she was very young when they married. Actually, if she was 16 and he was like 15 or 16 years her senior, and it was an arranged marriage, her father, the judge, had, you know, almost promised her from a child to this hero. And it was an amazing marriage. They had three children, all of whom they did well. One died early, but Mrs. Logan was a woman of letters. Ended up, after living in Washington many years, dying in 1922 in Chicago. So we have a reenactor.
Oh, very cool.
B.A. Church, and she's going to come in character and tell us some insights about the Logans from the wife's standpoint. So this is going to be excellent, Steve.
Well, I mean, it sounds fantastic, and it's one of the many things that you contribute a tremendous amount of time to in a lifetime of practicing service over self. But one of the things, we got to take a break, and when we come back, one of the things I want to talk to you about is your close friendship with another military young man and the great Senator John McCain, because you share a history that none of us can identify with in both being longstanding POWs. So if you can hang with us 1 second, General, we'll do a break. We'll come back.
Absolutely.
All right. More with General John Borling in just a second. You know, we throw around the term great Americans. You know, great American. Come on.
Yeah.
We're giving away this Chevy truck with its centennial blue. It's a color that's unique. I've never seen this color. I really haven't. And I'm slightly colorblind, so I would know the difference between these. No, I really would, because I can tell your blues, your light blues, your medium blues, your robin's egg blue.
Blue's in this year.
Centennial blue. It's a beautiful truck.
How would you describe it? Is it a darker blue?
It's darker.
Lighter?
No, it's darker. It's absolutely darker. And what happens is you go to WJNradio.com/contest and you'll be able to get all the pertinent details on how you can register to win this truck. We're going to give it away online, but we're going to talk about it on the air all the time because it's a very cool giveaway. Who doesn't want Hamp's truck? This is Hamp's truck, the Silverado.
Can you imagine driving this Silverado and pulling up on the expressway next to Hamp and his?
Oh, you talk about macho.
That's like a Chicago dream.
Yeah, it's macho. Hey, Hamp.
It's macho.
Honk the horn.
Yeah, hey, Hamp, look.
We
both, the window.
Hey, Hamp, look. We both have the same car.
He gives a wink like, sounds good, buddy. You'd be like, what? Hamp just like my truck.
Go to WGNradio.com/contest for more information and make sure you get in and get your shot at your own centennial edition, centennial blue Silverado. General John Borling is with us, a fighter pilot in the Vietnam War. He gets shot down by ground fire, seriously injured. I think he may have even broken his back. So you know what he did, Dave? He got up and tried to commandeer a Vietnamese vehicle so he could drive out of there.
Wow.
Wow. And I believe, General Borling, I don't want to commandeer your line, but I believe I've heard you say this before. That's when your stay started?
Well, you know, I couldn't walk, and I was in deep, and there was no, you know, it was rescue or give up, or there was no chance of rescue, give up, or try to do something rash to get out. So I tried to hijack this truck and did. As you remarked, but it was a truck full of North Vietnamese regular troops, so it was a management decision of some considerably bad proportion. But I was substantially outgunned, if you will.
Sure.
So then that started that long period back way back when.
How long were you a POW?
A little over 6.5 years.
Is your friendship with Senator McCain based on this incredibly unique club you were both in, or did you know each other prior?
In large measure, you know, you allude to it, and people are still fascinated by that period. I was privileged to serve with some extraordinary fellow aviators who stood up under incredible pressures and terrible treatment, especially in the early years, and in a manner that... it wasn't about survival, Steve. It was about survival with honor. We wanted you guys to be proud of us, and we wanted to be true to ourselves. And it was in that period of years that later on, when they put us in larger groups, that I did live with Senator McCain. And obviously, we relied on one another, all of us, and became close. And the sharing of that experience has formed bonds that endure over the years.
Throughout life, without
on a personal and professional basis. But that doesn't mean you go lockstep down the road with guys. But you have this bond that can't be broken by a difference of opinion here and there on an issue or whatever. Mm-hmm. So As you know, he's battling serious illness, and the prognosis is not good, but he's a fighter. God knows we're all fighters, aren't we? And wish him and his family well out there, but he's hanging out and working the problem in Arizona. So,
well, and I know you're in regular contact with him, so I hope you'll continue to give him our best. By the way, General Borling was in captivity, he wrote, I couldn't even tell you how many poems, but I would highly recommend Taps on the Walls, poems from the Hanoi Hilton.
You know, you're pushing the book. I wrote it in my mind. We didn't have anything to write with, so I just kept, created and wrote it in the mind. Hey, what comes to mind, though, I don't want to leave your listeners, your adoring public, and I say that seriously. You're an institution Chicagoland, and we thank you for that. But this Memorial Day ceremony is more than speeches. There's going to be music. There's going to be it's wreath laying. You're going to come away inspired.
We want a huge crowd.
So 11 o'clock at the Logan Statue at 900 South Michigan. Everyone's invited. Come and take part in something meaningful on Memorial Day weekend. We invite everyone. And at a later time, I think we're going to be short here on talk time, but I'd love to come back and talk to you about Service Over Self America.
Oh, you are welcome here anytime. You know that. But in relation to what you just said, Justin has a question.
Hi, General.
Sure.
I'm interested in the contrast as someone who has served his country and has given so much to his country, and this being the Memorial Day holiday, and the way that America right now views this as sometimes a barbecue weekend with a three-day holiday, and they don't necessarily think about the memorial part of this weekend. Talk about that contrast of thinking about your experience and your fallen comrades and the way that this country views Memorial Day.
When they did the consolidation of holidays, they tried to do it with Armistice Day or Veterans Day, too. And then there was a great rebellion, if you will. So it stays on the 11th of November, which was the conclusion, all quiet on the Western Front of the First World War. But the other holidays got mashed into these three-day weekends for convenience sake and economy sake. And I think we have lost the symbology and the importance of honoring our war dead. It kind of gets mixed up in people's enjoyment, legitimate enjoyment of family and neighborhood and activities. But all over America, there are Memorial Day ceremonies. So we haven't lost it. It just becomes a little more inconvenient sometimes for people to observe what should be a very solemn moment. So and day. So we ask them to take off an hour or two in the course of Memorial Day, the 28th this year, Monday, and be contemplative. Just a moment yourself, looking out over the landscape wherever you happen to be, and remember what it cost for us to have what we have. I mean, we should fall down on our knees every day and thank the Lord we're Americans.
God bless.
But it's a fight that goes on. I mean, it's not a military fight necessarily. Unfortunately, we'll have a lot of those if human history is any indicator. But it's a matter that we as citizens need to commit ourselves to those shared values and experiences that keep us free. It's freedom and responsibility, liberty and duty. That's the deal. That's the deal if we're Americans. And it takes every generation to keep marching.
Amen.
To keep America going. Because, we are not a done deal. We are never a done deal.
And part of the effort of that is, and we'll continue this conversation with Mark Slaby coming up, but you and I couldn't be bigger believers in the Patriot Education Fund, as we talked about earlier. We're going to get together next week. There's still a few foursomes available for this, and I'd love for people listening to jump in and be sponsors. And if you can't make it on Tuesday, if you can sponsor a foursome, we've got military vets we can put in those groups to have a day of golf and fellowship and a great dinner and know that this is what the general's talking about. We're paying it forward, and we're taking care of the educational needs that the gaps in the GI Bill don't take care of. And it's just a fabulous day, General. I think you agree.
Well, I think, you got 2 days. You got the 28th, Memorial Day, and you can be at Grant Park, 9th and Michigan, at 11 o'clock. And then you can, and I hope Mark talks about the opportunity that you just talked about the next day of making some substantial contribution to, as you say, paying it forward for people that have served honorably, and now we're going to give them a push so they can continue to contribute to this great nation of ours.
It is an honor to have you on, you know, I consider you a friend, though we don't get the chance to see each other very often. And
we live out of town. We live out of town, but I'm in all the time, and I'm going to come in and camp on your microphone there.
Are welcome.
We'll talk about SOS America then. How's that?
I would appreciate that very much, and please say hi to your lovely wife and family. And thank you, General.
Thanks, General.
Steve, Justin, thank you. Bye bye,
General John Borling. You know, there's you, me, Dave. And then there's General Borling. I'm just curious. Do you and I, Dave, add up to one General Borling?
No.
Nope, absolutely not. Not even close.
Maybe an assistant, like a small-level colonel. Like, not to the point where you're not to the colonel.
We're not
you're
even
apprentice.
I think the point has been made.
All right, good.
We're not even the captain on the Captain Crunch box. And you know what? And you know one of the reasons General Borling and Senator McCain and guys of that ilk are so great, including any guy that did his time and left as a grunt private, is because they did it. They stepped up. They sacrificed. They signed up to do the right thing. And the least we can do is support them.
You really could go, you know, I think General Borling would be a tremendous story to listen to. I mean, we're talking 50 years since 1968, and 1968, the turbulent year in the Vietnam War. It's pretty amazing to think about where he was 50 years ago.
Yeah, it's incredible. And Bruce Willis called and said, well, I wouldn't even have done that. And I'm John McClane. Got a broken back and I got to steal a truck. 7:34. Mark Slaby joins us in just a moment. The Patriot Education Fund. More as we set up for Memorial Day. And I love this group. Stand by for that. First headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost.
It is 7:45. Justin Kaufman's here because the White Sox won't let him have a show.
They won last night.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Because if they lose too many games, then they forfeit the season, and then I got to get back to work.
Well, here's the thing, though, because you
doesn't
love
work
doing
that way, Dave.
You love
I
doing the show. So. You love doing the show, and you love the White Sox.
Yeah.
So you must be emotionally a wreck.
The problem
you love having the White Sox on, but you hate missing your own show.
The only thing I could say to it is because if the game ends early, I have to come in and cover the rest of the shift at 10 o'clock, 10:30. So it's given me a total excuse at night with my wife to say I got to watch the White Sox. You know, before it was like let's get to House Hunters or whatever it is, and these kind of come back. Now I'm like, it's the seventh inning, babe. I got to watch this. But this is work. I got to watch. It's work. So.
Mark Slaby's here, the Patriot Education Fund. Let me give you a few numbers. Since 2011, 122 scholarships have been awarded. About $500,000 in the scholars' education has been invested. 49, well, let me get you in here, Mark Slaby. This is Mark's least favorite part of the job, hanging out with us, talking about the organization he loves. But he just doesn't like showing off. 65% funding allocation to veterans, 20% funding allocation to kids of the vets, and 15% to the spouse of the veteran's family. And as I said, all of this represents the fact, Mark, as you've detailed many, many times from our first meeting on, there was a gap in the GI Bill and it needed to be covered, right?
Absolutely. And I think most citizens in this country don't really understand that these individuals that are serving our country have a challenge when they come back home and they're trying to transition to civilian life and invest in their own education, that it can put them in significant debt because the government's just not covering these gaps. And the Patriot Education Fund is just one program that is trying to make a difference in the community. And we're very proud of the fact that the individuals year to date, they've represented 49 individual deployments, and 42% of our scholars represent women and minorities, and we're trying our very best to invest in the community, because if you read the studies, these individuals that represent the 1% of our country, almost 85% of them will continue to reinvest in our community. They'll run for public office. They will work with local school boards. They'll continue to give back if asked. And this is the group of individuals that we should be making the investment in.
Can you get a better stamp of approval than having General John Borling say people ought to spend money on supporting this?
Well, it's beyond an honor to even be friends with Major General John Borling. And the thing that I'm reflective of in that conversation that we just had is, did you hear him say that they just wanted us to be proud of them?
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You're talking about a simple request and the ultimate sacrifice to for a simple request. You know what I mean? Listen, there literally are no words.
Yeah.
But he's an amazing guy, and he has literally been with you every year since his first year when you asked. I remember when you said, I'm going to talk to General Borling, and that was another time I said, well, good luck with that. Like, he's got nothing to do. He stepped up immediately.
He did, and we're very grateful for his friendship and his advice. So he's pointed us in directions through his friendship and service to make sure that we really are helping the enlisted, the E1 through E5, those that are most in the financial need that he believes and others believe need the most assistance coming out of a service.
So if there is somebody listening who says, listen, I can't play golf on Tuesday, but I could certainly help, and I want to sponsor a foursome, what do they do?
Well, first off, we are underwriting our Purple Heart recipient foursomes. So everyone out there should know that if they make a general donation at this standpoint, we're allowing for other wounded warriors who have served our country honorably to come out and golf. And so those donations can be invested in their education. All they need to go do is look at patrioteducation.org or send us an email at info@patrioteducation.org, and we'll get you to point into the right direction and make sure that your funds are invested properly in the families that we're serving.
It's a great day at Medina, for crying out loud. It's a fabulous day, but this is not just a day for a bunch of vets to goof around with their buddies. There's tremendous networking that goes on, which opens the doors, and there's too many stories to tell here, but opens the doors for some of these vets to places they didn't even know, whether it's corporate executives or possible job avenues or other philanthropic activities. So I'm proud of you as well, my friend.
Well, we're all in this together, and the support of WGN has been fantastic, and there's been some fantastic sponsors that have really stepped up this year in particular, namely Wintrust, who is our title sponsor, Marin Electric, Advanced Resources, Law Vision, Tour Edge, Legacy Marketing, JLL, of course, Aon, Clear Channel, and PepsiCo. Every one of these community members.
They've all stepped up.
They all have, and they continue to year in, year out.
If I can ask just a question about, when you start the segment about how the gaps, and you have this the corporate sponsorship and the companies that you just listed off, how are they becoming more aware of those gaps as time goes on? Is the private sector willing to step up to help veterans who have sacrificed and given time where they could be in college and other places to deal with that gap? Is that something that you're seeing as we kind of move forward here?
You know, I actually think that there's a great misunderstanding, and I think a lot of us take for granted, no differently than I did or other friends of ours, that once you enlist into the armed services, that your education will be paid for.
Yeah.
And that's just simply not true. And so I would say that I don't believe that that's the case still. I think these corporations need continued education. They need to continue to meet individuals like Michael Jewell, who we have here in the studio.
Yeah, we were going to talk to him in just a second.
Sure. And I think once they identify with that and they understand, then they will continue to allocate funds to ensure that they're making investments in our country's future.
To your point, I believe the marketing has been tremendous. Mm-hmm. And the branding has been tremendous, because I think most of us do think, you sign up, you serve, you're getting an education. It's done. You don't have to worry about it. And as Mark Slavy just said, it's not the case.
Is from politicians left and right about how there are going to be different programs and things put together for veterans, and we're going to take care of our veterans. And to hear that there is this gap, this employment gap, more than anything else, it concerns me, just as someone who thinks that
deal.
It's already being taken care of.
Elise Glink will join us on Friday. She is sponsored by Grandview Homes. We thank Grandview Homes for that. In the meantime, when we come back, you're going to meet a pretty special guy who's benefited from the Patriot Education Fund. Michael Jewell served this country and not ready to serve you in your sore limbs. Mark Slaby is here. The Patriot Education Fund has a 100% graduation rate. You can't get a lot higher than that. So when your money helps a scholar, you can rest assured that, the delivery is going to get done. As a matter of fact, one of those folks that benefit from it is here in the studio. And with Memorial Day coming, I wanted you guys to meet Michael Jewell. Good morning, Michael.
Morning. Thanks for having me on.
Michael, thank you for your service in the Navy. From when to when?
From 2006 to 2012.
Retired at what rank?
E5.
And you are now about to graduate.
I just graduated last week.
Actually. Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. I thought it was this Saturday. So you're a graduate of what program?
Doctor of Physical Therapy.
Could you have done it without the Patriot Education Fund?
No.
So there you go. Right there. Right there. Serve in the Navy. As a matter of fact, I should brag about you a little bit here. Assigned to the USS Abraham Lincoln, two deployments in Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom. Interested in kinesiology, went to UIC and Bradley, and now got your doctorate from Bradley just this past weekend. What's the ultimate job? What do you want to do?
Ultimately, I like to work for the VA, work in maybe an outpatient or inpatient setting, maybe even a mix, but ideally that's where I like to end up.
You know, for you, Michael, thanks for being here. You know, the same question applies. Were you surprised at the fact that, you know, the myths that come out that the GI Bill will take care of everything? Were you surprised at the gaps that were laid out before you when you were done with your deployments?
Right. I mean, I was fortunate enough for the GI Bill to help me with my undergrad and then partial of my first year in a PT school. But there definitely is that huge gap if you're going post-bachelor degree, which most professions now, you need to have more than just a bachelor's degree to be more competitive. So I wasn't quite expecting that, and that's a lot of money to kind of fork over, especially when you're not really able to work as much.
When you don't have any.
Right.
It's a lot of money to fork over when you don't have any to fork. It's another point that you brought up earlier, Justin. I don't know if we talked about this on the air or off the air. Memorial Day itself is a time we focus on this, but we need to focus on it all year, and a Patriot Education Fund does a nice job of doing that. But I don't know that we got – did we have a chance to talk to Borling about this? Does Happy Memorial Day offend you? Do barbecues and mattress sales offend you? Or do you share Borling's view that have your fun but take time to think about it?
I think I share that view as well. I think it's about just being American.
Right, because you fought for the freedom of barbecues and mattress sales and other things.
What does Memorial Day mean to you?
I think it's about remembering all the sacrifices and taking that into consideration and thinking about what being American means to you.
Is it a somber time for you as a former
Navyman?
I mean, but question. I mean, is it a reflection? What does it mean to you on Monday?
I'd say reflect on those that did serve and gave their lives, and just kind of keep that in the memory alive.
What interested you in the service to begin with?
Kind of to travel. I wanted to see the world. Didn't realize that the world was 70% water, so got to see that in the Navy. I want to see the world, and then eventually have a way to get more education. I had originally been in college for a little bit, and the bills were stacking up pretty high. And I wanted to kind of a route to get that education as well.
Did you also serve under the misnomer when you signed up that the service would pay for your full boat, your full ride, whatever
yes.
you did? Isn't that amazing? Because when you're recruited, and it's not a knock on the Pentagon or a knock on the service branches, but when you're recruited, they don't stop down to go, okay, most of your education, okay, some of your education. Yeah. But that's why the Patriot Education Fund exists. So we want to get you a job, too. So how good are you? I mean, I know you're a solid guy in the Navy, but how good a PT are you going to be?
I've been told I'm pretty good. Had some good compliments, but not everyone's always happy to see a PT, especially in the hospital, because we're that person telling them to get up and walk right after one day after a surgery, you know. So,
but we were talking off the air. You'd love to be a part of the VA, and you know, so many people who have done their time as you have in the service do want to pay it forward, and I assume that's the inspiration for wanting to stay with the VA or
yes.
be with the VA, I should
and
say.
I volunteered at the VA for a while to get my hours for PT school, and I really liked working with the veteran population, and just actually in some of my clinical experiences when I did have a veteran, it always seemed like we jived pretty well and built a pretty good rapport, and I just kind of reinforces that drive to work for the VA.
We have a lot of aches and pains here. Maybe Michael could work on us just as a way of showing how hireable he is.
Well, I'm not licensed yet, so.
Okay, let's wait for you to take your boards.
Yeah.
Anybody want to say hi to family members?
Yeah, my mom and dad are listening right now, and all my family and friends and former shipmates.
You're a modest guy, Michael, and I respect that, but that also goes with the service that you've put in. I bet you're going to be a great PT. I have no doubt about it.
Thank you.
Mark Slaby, guys like Michael, I know touch your heart, because when you and I sat down and had that original breakfast so many years ago in Tulsa, Oklahoma, And you had an idea to do this. Who knew that it would develop into what it's developed into?
Well, we've been very blessed by many individuals and corporations that continue to make investments in our military families. But one of the other things that I think has been developing in our program is the mentorship. So, you know, we have graduated doctors in the past, and Michael will have the luxury of, now that he's going to be an alumni, to be networking with our donors as well as our individual alumni, and we're broadening that program. And I'm so humbled when I see individuals that are graduates of our program start giving back financially to invest in those that will become, you know, behind them. And this is a program that's working. We're very proud of the metrics that we've continued to evangelize in the community, and we're very grateful for the time that you always invest to tell Michael's story.
It's a great story to tell. We still have a few foursomes. We'd love to move. We want to sell out every year. Why should this year be any different? And again, any contributions appreciated. What do people do if they want to play or just want to help?
Well, as we continue to grow our golf outing, which is really a golf experience, at Medina Country Club, the home of the BMW in 2019, individuals who may not be able to attend can still underwrite a Purple Heart recipient's foursome, or they can still get a foursome if they want by just simply going to patrioteducationfund.org or emailing us at info@patrioteducation.org. There's plenty of opportunities. You can also just come for lunch. I mean, this program continues to expand. Everyone is welcome to invest in our scholars' education.
And it's a very moving ceremony. One of the things I like that Slaby does is we do the program before we play golf. So you can hang out afterwards, have some fun, or head home. But Jim Cornelison is there, and Jim does the anthem, which he's fairly good at. I don't know if you guys have noticed. He'll be at the Indy 500 doing what is
back home in Indiana,
which is an unbelievable honor.
Second year in a row.
So obviously he's good. And Cornelison will be there, and thank the Blackhawks, too.
Yeah. He sings our national anthem Blackhawks style. It really revs everybody up. It's a very high-octane event, and we're very grateful for all of our donors, our sponsors, and certainly the support of WGN. And more importantly, to Michael Jewell. This is a great example of the individuals and the investments that we've made in the community, and we're looking forward to his future.
I'm now handling all of Michael's negotiations, so as his agent, I take no commission. Please let us know if we can help Michael through whatever contacts you might have as well. So, Michael, thank you for your service and good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Buddy, I'll see you Tuesday at Medina.
We'll look
normally, I'm parking cars. Tuesday, they'll actually let me on the property. We need a break, right? A quick break, then the news next, and then entertainment reporter Justin Kaufman filling in for Dean today on More on Entertainment coming up on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Time now for More on Entertainment. Dean's off this morning, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Dr. Tim and Company, good morning to you. And longtime entertainment legend Justin Kaufman is here. What's your top story?
All right, I'm in for Dean. R. Kelly, back in the news today. His court dropped his lawsuit. He had a lawsuit against a venue in Atlanta. This because Kelly didn't show up in court, and apparently his lawyers didn't either. They quit on him.
It's never a good sign when your lawyers quit. That's not a positive.
He's in the news, of course. A lot going on with R. Kelly. Spotify just last week dropped him from their platform. But Hollywood Reporter is reporting that streaming numbers for the artist are up.
How is that possible?
I think it might have something to do with people want it from Spotify. They can't get it, so they go to iTunes. This is a
Nielsen. Well, look, here's the thing. The great dichotomy, right? He is a tremendous musician and an amazing voice. He also is quite apparently, let's put it this way. He's an accused pedophile.
Acquitted pedophile.
Yeah. Well, there's new accusations that pop up all the time. So that is a problem from a business standpoint to be in business with him.
I thought the big story this week that not a lot of people talked about, because it was dropped on Friday night. Pitchfork, the juggernaut, does the festival in Union Park in the summer.
And one of Dave's favorite rappers.
Yeah. Pitchfork is the artist, or the
it's the venue. It's right, the right, event.
I thought that was a rapper. No, I'm sorry. Pitchfork, I'm just not hip like you guys.
Union
Park, just there on Ashland, near the United Center.
Dave's there. He's front and center.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But he was a headliner, R. Kelly, in 2013.
I'm mostly at the opera.
There was some pushback of why you would let R. Kelly be the headliner, and Pitchfork's, oh, give it up. And just yet on Friday, they apologized publicly for booking R. Kelly back in 2013.
There you go.
That's a big win for journalist Jim DeRogatis, who was really the only voice pushing, sure, like, why did you have R. Kelly? And they just like, oh, Jim, get off your soapbox. But here they are 5 years later, now that the movement has caught up, apologizing.
Well, good for Jim. We like
good
Jim.
Good for Jim.
Item number two.
Han Solo, A Star Wars Story, reported to have a budget over $250 million, making it the most expensive Star Wars movie to date, and one of the top 10 most expensive movies of all time.
But I thought we were trying to establish the new kids as stars. Are they going to be in this thing?
I mean, Donald Glover's in it, and he's a huge star at this point, yeah, so I don't know if they paid him for that, but right. I think it had to do with all of the behind-the-scenes. Ron Howard came in late to fix the movie after it already started shooting. One of the directors had bowed out, so I think in that transition, the budget ballooned to $250 million.
Is Harrison Ford in?
I don't think he's in it, is he?
No, it's
a
earlier
throwback. It's, yeah, it's a prequel. It's, well, Harrison.
You could have a look forward.
Could go through a time machine.
It's, yeah, exactly. Is he going to be like having a dream? He's
he
like
have a dream going, what am I going to look like when I'm 80?
Yeah, that's a great opening. That's why we That's why they changed directors.
We got pitched.
By the way, that's the voice of David Hochberg. Will be on the show.
The actor who plays Chewbacca. He was coming through town and didn't work out time wise, but I guess a new actor plays Chewbacca. The actor who played Chewbacca from the early ones, and I think even the same actor who played Chewbacca during the prequels that came out in the 2000s,
the actor
has been replaced. The actor
who played Chewbacca.
Then the actor who played Chewbacca now is a 6 foot eight. No, there's an actual 6 foot eight human inside
the
of Chewbacca.
Actor.
It's not a robot.
His name is a basketball player. Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's an
Junis.
Eastern European. Yeah, right.
Junis
Swatamo.
He played at Penn State.
Yeah.
Listen, acting is a discipline that I have nothing but respect for. I don't know how much acting goes into playing Chewbacca.
There's a lot of movement.
Come on, Steve.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I believe you just won an Oscar.
I can't wait for that speech.
You got one more?
Real quick, just on that, also reports coming out that the director or the writer of Solo, A Star Wars Story, and Donald Glover have confirmed that Lando Calrissian is pansexual. Meaning he will, as a man
C-3PO?
Of the universe.
C-3PO? Is C-3PO
as a man of the universe, Lando Calrissian's into it.
Yes.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah.
Who isn't?
Right. That's right. All I got. Pretty good,
right,
huh?
Right. Yeah, not bad.
Can
not
I
bad.
Add the final of Survivor's on tonight, too?
Okay, there you go.
The big finale.
And you've never missed a show.
I have not missed a season. Ghost Island is this season.
But between taping and viewing live, you've never missed a show.
I don't think I have.
How about
no.
that? That's how she got on the Walk of Fame.
It's a great show. I think I should apply for it.
You should apply for it.
Thinking
you absolutely
about
should.
It.
Yeah. I'll write you a letter of recommendation.
I'd be booted off the first round.
I'd put a microphone on that, watching you go through
I would
the,
be gone so fast.
The audition process.
You've been listening to Moron Entertainment. Dean's allegedly back tomorrow.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Future Blackhawks play for the Rockford Ice Hogs. I think we can agree it's a great logo. I get a text from my friend David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage last night. He was at the game in Rockford.
Center ice.
Which, by the way...
No big deal.
No big deal.
By the way, 7-6 overtime loss.
That would be a 6-5 overtime loss overtime in the game loss. That I was watching, but maybe...
It's different on TV.
It's different on TV.
Different on
right.
TV.
Hey, just because you got
high
no sleep, don't get bitter with me.
I only got 3 hours, buddy. I'm rocking.
6-5 overtime loss means that we have Texas right where we want them, Dave. Is that
down 0-3.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I am wearing my Rockford Ice Hogs hat today.
That's right. And I brought a Ice Hog jersey for you because the fine people in the promotion department of the Ice Hogs, look at this, baby.
Wow.
This is full. This is game
wow.
worn. This is
that
by
is
a gentleman,
nice.
Runblad, number yeah, nine back in the day.
Played for the Blackhawks.
Oh, David Runblad.
David Runblad when he was
playing
at the
in Russia now.
Wait, David Runblad, does that have real blood on it?
This is like a little blood on it.
That was me. I cut my lip shaving yesterday.
Used it as a rag?
Yeah, well, no, it just, you know, I was all excited about going to Rockford that pregame. I got
right.
nervous. And
right.
That's not like a sword. It's a cut from a razor on my lip. I just want to let everybody know. So it's a little blood for me.
Why don't we raise some money with that? Take that to the Patriot golf outing. On
you should. We'll it's all yours. No, the five people, nice, the Ice Hog promotion department.
And we'll promote the Ice Hogs in the process. When's yes. the next game? When's game four?
Next game is Thursday at 7. That's game 4, which they'll, of course, win. Then that'll force a game 5
uh-huh.
on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Tickets are still available. And you can call McKenna Ryan at 815-847-6000. 6386, 815-847-6386. A lot of great seats still available.
Let's go to Super Joe for an update on this. Super Joe, when is game four?
That would be tonight.
It's tonight.
What are you talking about?
First tonight.
No, it's Thursday.
No, it's not. It's Thursday.
Thursday?
Yes.
It's
Thursday.
Super
Thursday,
two in a row. I'm the unofficial official.
Super Joe said it's tonight. It's tonight.
Yeah, right.
I'm backing up Joe. Let's Super get into Joe, this.
Even if Super Joe's wrong, he's right.
What day is today?
They play Thursday.
Thank you.
If necessary, which it will be.
Come on, David.
Game
Friday.
Five is Friday.
Right. Hold on. Super Joe, where are you getting your information?
Well, he said Thursday two days in a row, right? So that's why I was confused.
He got at the same place you got 7-6. But let's not. I'm the unofficial official.
You need a hobby. You know that.
I know. I slept up the rock for last night. 9 hours in my car.
So I get a text from Hochberg and a picture on what I think is a brilliant marketing move. He's about to ride the Hamboni.
Yeah.
The Rockford Ice Hogs have a Hamboni.
Yeah.
That is a good move.
Dr. McGuire and I thought I was, and for the Ice Girls, they schlepped them up from Chicago, which was great. And then I figured that we'd be the furthest traveled. So I'm making friends with people in the Hamboni, thinking maybe I'd get a loan out of them. You know, I'm working them credit.
Always working pro mortgage.
You own a house, where you're from, you know, what's the value, what rate you have. You know, just trying to make friends. And
small talk.
Small talk.
Typical
right?
Party talk for everybody.
We're sitting in a Hamboni. What else are you going to talk about? So I go, so where are you two ladies from? You know, thinking that I traveled the furthest from Chicago. They're like, oh, we just flew in from Amsterdam. I'm like, all right, well, you trumped us.
Oh,
Amsterdam.
Well, they heard about the Hamboni, and they had to see it up close.
Right, we were in the Hamboni. We have pictures. It's awesome.
All right, so those pictures are posted where?
I will email them to you, Dr. McGuire and I, on the Hamboni.
No. Wouldn't Ross Cochran be posting those?
I emailed it to him. Yeah.
Okay.
But I know why they're having a little tough. It's the royal wedding hangover. That's what it is. I was talking with
the boys. That's why the Ice Hogs are having a tough time?
They can't get over how $36 million, $300-some thousand for the wedding dress. Okay. So I figure by the time Thursday comes around, Joe, at 7 o'clock at the BMO Harris Center at Maple at Elm in Maine, by the way, and I had a great parking spot.
I think what their troubles are is shoddy ice because everyone's not paying attention to the Hamboni because you're talking about interest rates and mortgages and things like that.
By the way, you had a question. We have no time for this, but you had a question.
That could be a problem. I had a serious question about bank regulation reform. But you know what? Let's talk.
I got a question.
Who cares about that?
We're talking about.
Hey, did you play Chuck the Puck last night?
No, but they had some. I don't know what Chuck the Puck is, but.
Hold on. Let's find out. What's Chuck the Puck?
Well, I saw a picture of the game last night where fans got to throw a puck, you know, towards a bullseye at center ice.
Is that the deal? That's like their between period.
I missed that, but I was peeing. But they've got something better. they put three people in balls, in plastic balls, and they put a hula hoop in the center of the ice. It's hysterical. And they got three people. You've got to put a foot in the center of the ice, then go meet an ice girl, and you get a sticker on the ball. These guys are blasting into each other, and they're going airborne.
So it's like bumper ball.
Oh, it's bumper balls. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
It's great. So,
all right, well, it's good to see you excited.
I'm all excited.
Frankly, I think you need a better hobby, but this is good to
see
you excited.
This is fantastic. I got to thank
Rockford
some people.
Rockford Ice.
I got to
make it quick.
I got to thank
you right now. This isn't that
Chris
thing
Warner,
you do
Vice
on the weekend.
President. No. Chris Warner, Vice President of Ticket Sales of the Blackhawks. I want to thank Mike Peck, Director of Business Operations, McKenna Ryan, Ticket Sales. Chris Robinson. I've got a temporary media pass. Dave, get on that for the finals. Whoops, I just hit the thing. I met the previous owner, Dr. T.
That's fantastic.
He's the tooth guy up there.
Well, David continues, sponsored by New Balance Chicago. We now go to the headlines on 720 WGN.
Perfectly steamed bun. Hot dog got to be smiley. We start with the mustard, relish, onions.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hot dog, I'm taking it dog. Now we got ears inside for cheers. Hot dog, no problem.
So Dave Ennett and I were talking the other day. If you you're leaving O'Hare, you're driving to O'Hare, and for whatever reason you end up, in particular on 294 South, you see two stadiums right next to each other. One is for the professional softball team, which is called what, Dave? The Chicago
Bandits? They were the Bandits.
The Bandits,
yeah,
right.
The Bandits. They used to play out in Lyle, and they have a very nice stadium.
They got a great stadium.
They got a great stadium there.
Great
you see
stadium.
Right off I-90 there.
And about, 200-300 yards away is a brand new stadium for the Chicago Dogs. And this is going to be the are they minor league affiliated yet?
They're in the
independent.
They're in the American Association, which is it's a league of independent teams.
It's just going to be cool baseball, mm-hmm. cool baseball. And I am always amazed at how Rosemont continues to develop that entertainment center, because you know I work at Zany's yeah. a fair amount. Well, fair amount. What is it, five shows a year now or whatever it is? But that's a lot for a girl like me. But they have the entertainment center with the restaurants and the movie theater, and Zany's is there, and then the ice rink in the wintertime, the hotel development. So anyway, Rosemont, it continues to blow up, yeah. blow up real big. So I thought we'd say hi to the mayor. Rosemont Mayor Brad Stevens joins us now. I don't know how you have time to even talk to me, Mayor. Don't you have some deal you have to cut today?
Yeah, we're running out of land, which is a great problem to have. Getting ready to open up the impact field on Friday night, first pitch, 7:05. So it's an exciting time.
It's a very cool stadium. The look, for in particular, from the tri-state. I mean, it really pops.
Yeah, it's we built this thing in a little over a year, and it's really coming to fruition, and it's quite a spectacular facility. And I think that it's probably one of the nicer ones in minor league baseball. We spent some time flying around and looking at some of these facilities. Obviously, we're not going to top the major league places, but for an independent team, I'm really happy with the way things are turning out.
Mayor Stevens, I'm interested in the economics of opening up a new stadium, because you've seen stadiums in neighboring, I think of the one in Schaumburg, and of course you've seen minor league stadiums pop up and different teams come to different areas. How important is it for the city of Rosemont to have minor league baseball and to be able to bring this kind of entertainment to its town?
Well, I think that it's just going to add another element of entertainment for folks to come to Rosemont. We believe that we can do some music shows, outside of the season, even on the front end or the back end as well, I think can be somewhat lucrative as well. So we're gonna focus on baseball for this first 50-game season here. Make sure that we partner with our team and do things right. Make sure the fan amenities are there, and then we'll start getting into those things. Maybe year two, a little bit more in depth.
When you talk about the future of how Rosemont looks and feels, it's interesting because it always has been a convention town. It's always been in the it does well with the airport and all of the business that comes.
Yeah, but now it's
it.
A destination
now,
for different reasons.
Yeah, but that's the question about with restaurants and shops and what you're doing with that corridor and now the baseball stadium. Is this a new direction for Rosemont?
No, I think it's just adding to what was already the stable part of our economic engine in the convention business and the activity at the Allstate Arena. Obviously, that's always a top ticket selling venue in the United States. Without any real pro franchise, and we have the Chicago Wolves, which is an affiliated team with the Vegas Golden Knights. So they do rather well over there. But there's a lot of family shows, a lot of other music and concerts that we do at the arena and somewhat at the theater as well. Over the last 10, 11 years, we knew that the convention business is starting to get, and at that point, I should say, it was starting to get a little bit more competitive, where everybody thought that it was easy to just, plunk down a big convention center in the middle of a city and the city flourishes. It doesn't work that way. You have to work with the show managers' schedules and whatnot to make sure that you keep that place vibrant. But at the same time, we're looking at more entertainment to be able to keep those conventioners happy and in the community while they are visiting Rosemont. Rosemont welcomes somewhere between 75,000 and 100,000 people a day just to our 2.5 square miles. So
how about that? How about that? And the Rosemont Theater is beautiful as well. So I just wanted to call and congratulate. Hey, by the way, am I right about this? Isn't that spot where Impact Field is, wasn't that going to be the new Wrigley for a period of time when that was talked about?
It was a great publicity stunt. That's what those two parcels of property are what we were, you know, having that very, very preliminary conversations with the Cubs about. You know, on the other side of Balmoral Avenue from Impact Field, there's a new 40,000-foot Dave and Buster's, and Carmine's Alex Dana from Rosebud is going to open up this summer, and True Luck Seafood, and there's a new hotel, 165 more rooms.
Well, hold on a second. What did Rosemont get for playing along with the Cubs to make sure the city played ball? Come on. Talk a little politics.
We didn't get nothing.
You keep that story going. We got nothing.
We got nothing. Hey, you know what? I'll take credit. That was when they turned it around, and you know the Cubs got their World Series.
I would hope the Cubs would at least be decent enough to give you some tickets. All right, 30 seconds.
Last question. I saw today that the new casino bill is in committee down in Springfield. If something like that came about, would Rosemont be a player, and would we resurrect the idea of a casino coming to Rosemont?
Well, there's one right in Des Plaines, Rivers Casino, and they've been a very good sponsor and partner with the village, and then, you know, trying to get some of the people that are staying in Rosemont to come to their casino. It'd have to be the right deal. It's got to be somebody that's going to operate this thing that comes to the village and says, hey, this is something that we think Rosemont could use, and that it would benefit the people that are living and staying in Rosemont. So it would have to be the right deal. You know, we went through a lot with the original casino bill that the old man allowed gaming in Cook County. So, you know, it is what it is. If somebody were to come to us, obviously we talk to anybody that's got a proposed development, because that's just how we do things, and that's how we've got the things that we've got going here.
Have fun Friday night.
All right, I'll be throwing out that first pitch. Don't bounce it in.
Yeah, don't bounce it. Don't bounce it. The booing is never good. That's the mayor, Brad Stevens from the Chicago Ducks. They got nothing. Nothing, Dave.
That's what he says, but I mean, remember the Cubs were going to have a new ballpark there. By the way, the Chicago Dogs, their home opener, they've opened on the road. They're playing the Kansas City T-Bones on Friday, a three-game series, the home opener.
Hot dogs versus the T-Bones.
Hot dogs versus the T-Bones.
There you go. There's a family, you may have heard about this story. There's a family in upstate New York, a town called Camillus, New York. Christina and Mark Rotundo. And they have an issue that maybe a lot of you can identify with. Their 30-year-old adult child has been living in their home, and they want the 30-year-old to
stay another 20 years?
Get their own life,
okay.
They ended up having to take their son to court.
Oh!
A judge yesterday ruled in the parents' favor and ordered Michael Rotundo to leave after having a room for the last 8 years. From the time he was 22 to 30, Rotundo contends he is owed a six-month notice by his parents.
Did you see the picture of Michael?
Yeah.
He looks like he hasn't showered while staying at his parents.
Yeah, and I'm guessing he doesn't help with the laundry.
No, he's not kicking in for the
groceries.
He looks like a couch potato.
Michael says, I just wanted a reasonable amount of time to vacate with consideration of the fact that I was not really prepared to support myself at the time of the notices. That's why you're getting kicked out, because you're not doing anything to support yourself.
I'm going to try to keep my son. He can stay with me till forever.
That's a nice thought. But at some point,
we get there,
you say
like,
that now,
no,
Joseph.
No, it's a nice
don't
thought.
Want that.
But at some point, you want your kid to be able to be the adult they have to be.
You know, and how much of this is the parents' fault? Because I have to tell you, if I ever questioned my parents about something like this, I'd be in a world of hurt.
Faye wouldn't be taking you to court.
No. I'd get out. I wouldn't even wait to see what came next.
This goes back, by the way, the court stuff goes back to February 2nd when Michael got a note. You know, a note from your mom is really, love you, honey.
Get it.
I cut the crusties off your sandwich. On February 2nd, after a discussion with your mother, we have decided you must leave the house immediately. You have 14 days to vacate. You will not be allowed to return. We will take whatever actions are necessary to enforce this decision. Shortly after this notice, with no action on the part of the son, his parents sought legal counsel and served a formal legal notice
on February 13th.
There's a couple of
which
questions
led
I
to
have on this story.
Yesterday and the final.
Yeah. And they offered him some money to help get him a place initially, and then they went on vacation.
$1,100
Yeah, they went on vacation. Yeah, and there's jobs to be had in the area. It's not that he doesn't want to work. No. But they went on vacation and they came back like in April, and he came back and he was still there. And you, what a letdown from vacation when you're thinking you're going to come home to your empty house and there's this 30-year-old couch potato who's, like, greasy.
It's obviously they have an estranged relationship. If you're sending a note that says you got 14 days to vacate the premises and then we're going to get lawyers involved, that doesn't sound necessarily like clean your room.
For 8 years, if that builds
like
up.
Something
yeah.
else. Yeah.
I wonder if they're, like, eating meals together or what his...
Well, lock the kid
awkward.
Out and turn the hose on him.
Yeah.
Here's the last note they sent before legal things got really tight. Well, number one, this is from a mom and dad. Or his mom and dad. Organize the things you need for work and manage to get an apartment. Note, you will need stuff. You must arrange the date and time through your father so he can set it up with a tenant. You need to leave. Number two, sell the things you have of any significant value to help raise money for this. This is especially true of any weapons you may have.
Hmm.
I don't know if the guy was a collector.
That was my next question. Yeah.
You need the money and we have no place for this stuff.
Hopefully those would have been taken away from him earlier.
Three, there are jobs available. I love this from your parents. There are jobs available even for those with a poor work history like you. Get one. You have to work. And number four, if you want help finding a place, your mother has offered to help you.
So there needs to be an FAQ, right? That mm-hmm. You really have to have a frequently asked questions section when you're a parent. Google that stuff.
Well, listen, there are times, right? Obviously, we're not talking about a kid with special needs. We're not talking about someone who is physically disabled and unable to work. We're talking about an able-bodied 30-year-old deadbeat who won't get his life in order.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a feeling he grew up in sports that didn't have winners and losers.
You think he got a participation ribbon?
I do. I think he got participation for everything, and his parents probably over-coddled and said he was so great, and then when he was sent off into the real world... and people don't tell you you're great every day, then you just choose to sit on your parents' couch.
Is there any reference to any mental illness?
No, none at all.
No. Or brothers and sisters? Does he have anybody to
No, they have
to?
Their own place. They don't have time for this.
This sounds like a feed the bear situation where, you go to the national parks, you're not supposed to feed the bears because they'll just stay around. I bet you they just, took care of them for so long and... Here, have another piece of pie.
Oh, that grilled bacon.
Have another picnic basket.
The New York State, and by the way, imagine New York taxpayers how thrilled they were that the court time sucked up by this. New York State Supreme Court Judge Donald Greenwood said, I'm granting the eviction. The notice was sufficient. After the court, Michael, the 30-year-old, told reporters he plans to appeal the case and finds the ruling ridiculous.
I mean, that's entitlement.
Did you just say state Supreme Court?
State Supreme Court.
This went to the state Supreme Court.
It had to. They take care of these things. That's why.
Why didn't they just put him on Judge Judy? It would have been a lot more entertaining.
Yeah.
She would have really ripped him.
And so the end game here is to have sheriff's deputies go and drag him out with his belongings and throw them on the curb.
Right.
So he's just taken that $1,100 and given it to lawyers to keep going up the chain here?
Apparently.
He's like,
apparently.
He keeps going back to
somehow,
mom.
Though, I'm guessing he doesn't have the $1,100. It's probably in Call of Duty 5 or, whatever the other game is.
Fortnite is the new one.
I would love to see the proceedings of that. This is my friend Clark. He's also my lawyer. Thank you, Supreme Court, for listening to this.
Meanwhile, he's sitting in the basement going, Ma, meatloaf! 9 o'clock, SEAL TV, good morning. And we continue on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I often get confused for Bruno Mars. It's 9:13. The Steve Cochran Show continues. We do Kid of the Week every Tuesday, but sometimes we get an opportunity to meet a special group of kids who are a little older than the kids we talk to on Tuesday, and we got a bunch of them in studio right here. So let me introduce the band, and then we'll tell you why they're here. Natalie, say hi.
Hello.
Where are you from, Natalie?
Glen Allen, Illinois.
All right. And Justine?
Hello.
By the way, your last names are Natalie?
Natalie Ball.
And Justine?
Drake.
Yeah, you guys all Glen Allen?
No.
Okay, Justine, where are you from?
Glen Allen.
Okay, now they're messing with me. Maddie, where are you from?
I'm also from Glen Allen.
Okay, and what's your last name?
Bertrand.
But you're not related to Steve Bertrand.
No, I am not.
All right, congratulations. Zuri just got here, and she was stressed out by the parking. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Zuri, what's your last name?
Rodriguez.
Say it again for me.
Rodriguez.
Yeah, your microphone wasn't on. And I assume you're from Glen Ellen?
No, I'm from West Chicago.
There you go. Finally, and Connor, how about you? Last name?
Cummings.
Connor again?
Cummings.
All right, and where are you from?
Glen Ellen.
We thought we'd mess with the old guy. All right, we're here to talk about reality and something called Tobacco 21. So let me jump back to you, Natalie. What is it?
Definitely. Basically, it's a group of all the high school kids in DuPage County working to present to our village and the village board and trying to raise awareness and pass an ordinance for raising the tobacco age to 21 instead of 18.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's a big deal. And, yes. Maddie, why is 21 the magic number?
Well, you have to be 21 in order, like, to drink, so why not make it the same age?
It's got to be some number, right?
Yeah.
So let's start leveling it off at an older age where maybe you're a little more responsible to make the right choices.
Exactly.
Justine, how did you get involved with this?
Over the summer, I decided I wanted to start making a change in my community. This is a great place to do it. We work really heavily with making changes in our community and preventing tobacco and substance use among youth.
Now, Connor, I hear you're an athlete, and I've heard for a long time that tobacco use was going up in your generation. Do you see that or not?
I don't see it like on the baseball diamond, but I see it in our schools.
Okay.
I especially see it.
Right.
More people, such as my friends, are addicted to nicotine, and it's shown because sometimes they shake when they don't have it.
Sure.
So that's one reason I joined, is because I wanted to help my friends or people around to make it harder for them to obtain, like, tobacco and e-cigarette
it's
products.
It's a vicious addiction.
Yeah.
Just absolutely vicious. It's one of the toughest to break. My father, before he passed, I believe you lose count at some point, had 6 heart attacks, and he couldn't stop smoking. And not because he didn't try. And anybody that has that that predilection, it's a real problem. Zuri, did you ever try cigarettes?
No, and I hope I never do.
Yeah. What inspired you not to, or to stay away from it?
I have a large part of my dad's side of the family that, like, smokes and drinks, and it's just not appealing, like the yellow teeth, the bad breath, like all that's just nauseating for me.
The hangovers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny you say that, because I grew up in the same sort of environment, and I was completely turned off by all of it. You know, it doesn't make you or me better people. It just makes, you know, better choices maybe in the long run. So what do you guys do at Reality? What, I mean, do you meet? How do you propose to do this?
Well, we meet once a month in the school year and then once a week in the summer. And it started off with the Park District, and we were working on, like, healthy ways to deal with stress, building leadership skills. And then throughout the school year, basically, we passed the ordinance for no smoking in public parks. And then we moved on to this project, Tobacco 21.
You know, we always talk about peer pressure, Maddie. Is there any negative peer pressure where people are telling you this is a dumb thing to do and don't do it, or are you not hearing any of that?
Like, don't join Reality, or...
Yeah, don't join Reality, and you ought to be able to make your own choices. You hearing any of that?
Oh, no.
Well, that's good, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and Justine, have you guys gone to Springfield on this?
No, we haven't, but we've worked with the Health Association, and I know that we're kind of working with them to pass ordinances in our community. I know that they...
So DuPage Mental Health, they have a lobbying group in this?
Yes, so okay. They went down to talk to Springfield, and... they're looking to get that passed in Springfield.
I would love to know who would get in the middle of this. Now, the tobacco lobby is a big lobby, and they're strong, you know, certainly nationally, but on the state level as well. But, Zuri, with you guys getting involved in this, the power of kids, we're seeing this, obviously, with gun violence. You guys have a voice. You need to use your voice, and you're doing it in a healthy way now. Well, how much do you know about politics? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but has this caused you to get more involved?
It has. Like, before, I wasn't really interested in, like, tobacco use and all that kind of stuff. Like, I knew that wasn't for me. I didn't realize that I had to also encourage that kind of a lifestyle for my peers and people in my community. Of course, it's made me more involved in, like, the politics and just the health issues around.
Yeah, because people, you don't understand until you understand how important your vote is. And when you have an elected rep who doesn't share your views, how important it is to show up and vote and pick somebody else. That's the greatest power you have. Now, Connor, you're the old guy. You're going to school in the fall? Mm-hmm. Where?
You went to Case Western?
College is all about making healthy choices and being on your own for the first time. So you're going to leave this organization that you've been a part of, but how do you stay tied to it and help them push it from school?
Well, I can always come back, obviously, in the summer and help advocate. And also, I can advocate at college and promote my roommates and my school to make healthy decisions. So that's one way I can.
And, you know, at you're 18 now, I assume?
I'm 17.
When's your birthday?
July.
Okay, you got to vote this fall. You know that.
Yep.
That means absentee from school or you come home. I will come and get you.
Cool.
I will drive you home because I wanted to make sure you're voting because it's unbelievably important for you guys to show up. And this is not just the sermon from the really old guy in the room, but it truly matters because the social media piece of this and the ability to complain to your peers and to talk about it, it's a big deal. But until you show up and express your views, you're not fully committed. So please take that to heart as you continue with this. So how do we do Tobacco 21? What do we do to help you guys? I mean, do we lobby for you? Do we speak out? What do we do? Come on, Justine, tell me how to do this.
Yes, both. We have a slip that you can fill out to support this movement, Tobacco 21, that helps us, especially in Springfield, to get it passed statewide. So that's very helpful. And I guess just raising awareness about that the legal purchasing age needs to be raised to 21 because, you know, young adults need help with this because people are getting very addicted, especially at this young age, and they're addicted for life.
Maddie, when do you think the age is most, when's the most dangerous? When are you most vulnerable? Is it middle school?
I feel like it's high school.
You do?
Yes. Because in high school, like, they're just, it's a new, like, it's a new beginning, it's a new chapter because sure. you've come from middle school, and it's the middle point before leaving. And a lot can happen, and if someone and you have more freedom, and if the
wrong messages get sent your way, you could bite.
Yes, and if the age was raised to 21, then people who are 18 can't purchase the tobacco and give it to younger people.
That's a great point, right? Because 21, you're not going to have the same network.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you're 21 hanging around with cigarettes in the school parking lot, you'll probably get arrested for the right reasons.
Exactly.
So, Zuri, you pumped about this? You fired up? You going to get this done?
I'm excited, yeah. And also in June, we're going to be going down to Downers Grove to propose the Tobacco 21 to their village board. So that's going to be exciting. We're still like pushing on through the summer. We have things going on, but this is still a big part of our
life. Yeah, this is an exciting time of your life. You got a lot of stuff going on. You got friends. You got you know, a fun summer ahead. But I'm sorry, you're going to have to get this done now. It's up to you guys. So, Natalie, we end where we began. Back to you. Again, remind people what we can do to help you. Is there a website you'd send us to or a Facebook page?
We could do that, yeah. But definitely, just like Justine said, raising awareness. This is a big problem. And especially for young people, I feel like it's important to make that connection with adults as well because we see it like every day, even in the bathroom at school. And like, it's just such a problem now that raising awareness would be the best thing. And also passing these ordinances. I know some, not as many as we have passed, but some have not passed the ordinance for it, and we just think it's a big
deal.
Problem. Yeah,
big. Yeah, and NARI? NARI would be a good place to go, right? The NARI website, I assume? It's probably all linked through there? Ah, you know what? I'll look. Shooting my mouth off.
Prevention Leadership Team.
Say again, Prevention Leadership Team?
DuPage PLT,
not BLT. You need a BLT in DuPage County? I could probably find one for you. DuPagePLT.org. Yes, Manny.
So one other thing.
Yes, absolutely at it.
Is that I'm going to be getting a double lung transplant and I'm on the waiting list for it. And so this is very important to me because I know what it's like to not be able to breathe.
Yeah, it's unbelievably personal for you.
Yes. And so if I can do whatever I can so that others won't make the mistake and like and buying tobacco products and sure. buying cigarettes, then I am all for it. So
I have to say, I don't meet very many people that have to have a double lung transplant. Is that as unique an operation as it sounds like, or does it happen more often than we know?
Well, I have a disease called cystic fibrosis. Sure. It affects the lungs and the pancreas, and I've just gotten to the point where I need new lungs. So, but yeah, it happens, not a lot, but like it is, and it's not common, but it is a thing that happens.
It's a possible big treatment on this CF front.
Yes.
Because are we making strides in cystic fibrosis as well? I know we're getting off the page here a little bit, but it's important.
Yes. They actually passed a medicine called Symdeko.
Okay.
Because
as I understand CF, your lungs, is it fluid? Your lungs fill with fluid and you...
The mucus is thicker and stickier than people with...
So you do constantly have to get the padded on the back, well, not padded on the back, smacked on the back to loosen it up, right?
Yeah.
I guess that might get a little old. Well, the good news is, at your age, with the right donor, I would hope the prognosis would be quite positive. But you're a brave young woman with all that you're facing as well. So thank you for getting involved in all this.
Thanks. And the reason that we all do this is so that we can make a difference in our community and make it better for those in our community.
You're all rock stars. Connor, have a great time at school. I'm coming to get you if you don't vote.
Sounds great.
I'm going to vote. And great to meet all of you. Anybody want to shout out to your friend, suck up to a teacher? Anybody? Anybody need to kiss up?
All my friends. You got finals coming up.
Do you need to kiss up to anybody?
Definitely. All my teachers, all my friends.
All your teachers are the best ever.
Yeah.
Hi, Nikki. I don't know if you're listening, but hi.
I'm sure. Nikki's a big Talk Radio fan. Anybody? Huh?
My friends and family.
Girlfriend?
No.
All right. How about your parents?
My dad.
Oh, he's right here. Dad's right here. You don't say I don't know.
Oh, wait. Hi, Mom. I know she's listening. Hi. Yeah.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah, I should say hi, Mom, or else she'll get mad at me. Like, why did you say hi to me?
Yeah, Justine's too cool. You're just sitting back.
Hi, Grandma. I want to say thank you to Mrs. Ross and the DuPage County Health Department. They have helped us so much in this, and if it weren't for them, really, we wouldn't be all here today, because we wouldn't have the great opportunities that we do to make changes in our community.
Listen, I got to tell you, if it not for the energy and the courage of your generation, we still would be talking about doing nothing when it comes to gun violence. So I know you guys can make a difference in this regard as well, and it is super important. I've never touched this stuff. I don't want to, and there's an awful lot of people listening now who would like to be able to quit so they can get healthier as well. So good for you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Zuri, thanks for parking. Yeah. I asked my new pal, Maddie, to stick around for a second because, you're undergoing a big deal here on the verge of a double lung transplant. There's a GoFundMe page where we can help you out. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right. So if I search Maddie Bertrand, M-A-D-D-I-E-B-E-R-T-R-A-N-D, I will get to your page. You know how I know that?
How?
I just found it. Yeah. What did you want to say? You wanted to add something else?
Yes. I am having a concert, like, to raise money for my transplant.
Okay.
The band Citizen Way is coming, and it's going to be in Wheaton at the Wheaton College.
Okay.
Near the Billy Graham's Center.
Okay.
If you want, I could send you guys...
Yeah, send us the information, and we'll plug the whole thing.
Awesome.
Yeah, you don't have to have all that pressure now. You got enough going on.
And it's on June 2nd.
June 2nd. Well, it's coming up.
Yes, at 7 o'clock.
And so I just found that, weekend. Too.
All right, so give me the plug.
GoPromoters.com/calendar. It's 7 to 9 p.m. Saturday, June 2nd. Citizen Way, Wheaton College, Breath of Life concert fundraiser for Maddie Bertrand.
And that's a week from this Saturday.
Yes.
And we're going to put it up at Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, at WGNRadio.com. We're going to help you hype that as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. You get healthy and stay healthy.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you look fabulous, by the way.
Thank you
for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Nice to talk to you. GoFundMe. Maddie Bertrand, M-A-D-D-I-E-B-E-R-T-R-A-N-D. I've got it up right here. I'm about to donate. I expect you to as well. /9:43. Steve Cochran Show continues. Bill and Wendy at 10.
I get a little choked up. I'm fine. Justin Kaufman's here. He doesn't have a show most of the time now because of his White Sox. So I've asked him to come in and hang on this show. And really, it's a reunion with your friend Ro Khan, who you never get to see anymore.
I never heard of him. Who's Ro Khan?
Ro Khan. The
one word, right?
The Ro Khan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Do you miss Justin?
It took me 2 years to learn Justin's name when he would come into the studio.
But I remember he used to call him Kaufman.
Yeah.
Justin Kaufman is next.
Jordan Kaufman for a while. And then it was, I don't know. I can never keep it straight. But I do miss him because we'd have the longest, you know, they call that crosstalk at the top of the hour where the two shows get together and they talk to each other. And sometimes they feign liking each other.
Yeah, actually, I like them.
And then sometimes they just go, okay, what are you going to do next? And this, I actually do. We had so much fun. Sometimes the crosstalk would go like 15 minutes.
It's going to 8:30.
Yeah, which created some trouble for the management or the advertising.
That's why Justin's producer Pete hates you.
I know.
Because he'd have to continue to cancel guests.
Yeah.
All right, so we haven't had time to even talk about this today, but Leslie Stahl was doing a sit-down with the Deadline Club in New York, and in one very brief exchange summed up, in my opinion, the Trump presidency. She tells a story about just minutes before she and Donald Trump started to roll tape for the 60 Minutes interview, that she asked Trump about this fake news thing. Why do you keep bashing the media with fake news? And Trump said to Leslie Stahl, according to Leslie Stahl, because I want to demean and discredit reporters so that nobody will believe negative stories when they're out about me. Check, please.
Duh.
Yeah. Check, please.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that obvious? I mean,
No. That's the problem. It's not obvious. It's not obvious to everybody. And to hear it from a third party, I think, is important, even though now people will go, I never liked Leslie Stahl anyway.
Right.
Another one of them.
She's making it up, right?
Yeah. I mean, you just nailed it. I mean, here's the problem. That people who want to believe in the president for whatever reason, because he reminds them of their dad, or he's doing something good for business, or he's going to finally give all the people that I don't like, you know, what for? He's standing up for America. Whatever your motivation is for supporting him, it does not matter. He's such a dynamic personality in total, that people love him or hate him. And the people who love him are always going to love him. It is going to, even, and I believe this, at least half of them, if he shot somebody, as he said, he got on, you know, Madison Avenue or Fifth Avenue and shot somebody, they'd go, well, he must have had a good reason.
Yeah, well, your point you're referencing is when he said, I could go out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and it wouldn't matter.
Right.
Let me ask it, Ro, you know, as you guys talk about this a lot on the program, but if you take that concept, the concept of, you know, I'm going to, you know, put this out and discredit the media so that you don't believe anything they write, especially when it's negative. If you drag and drop that to investigations,
which they're doing,
opposition, you see a pattern here. Is that something that could be picked up? And you think that more and more people will pick up that this is just a formula, a strategy, a process that the president goes through?
I think that people on the margins and people in the middle will. Yeah. But I think that his core supporters, which appear to be somewhere around 30% of the electorate, somewhere. Now, 30% of the electorate, which means about 15% of the nation, right? Because about half people vote.
Yeah.
So that's a, that's, I mean, you know, for those people, and, you know, I love the Showtime show, The Circus.
Mm-hmm.
And they did an hour-long show, which screwed up everybody's DVRs because it, you know, cut off at 30 minutes, so you had to get it on demand. It was the most, because they couldn't get everything done in 30 minutes in that 2 weeks ago, in this, like, you know, that craziest of weeks that we've had in a long time. And one of the things they did is they went to the Elkhart, Indiana rally. And Alex Wagner, who was at MSNBC, I think she's at CBS now, she's with them. She was their reporter there. And she walked the blocks and blocks and blocks of Elkhart, Indiana, leading into the stadium, and the way that the lines whipped around. And she talked to all these people in the lines. And, you know, you could find that in Elkhart, Indiana, or Collier County, Florida, or, you know, you go to any of these other places around the nation that, you know, have big Trump support. And it doesn't matter. They see their guy as under siege by all the things that have been annoying them for 50 years.
That's a disappointing thing, because you can have both. You can have, he's got this accomplishment and that accomplishment and that accomplishment, and you can also be desperately worried for the country because of all the negatives that he brings along with.
But I think they trust him on a level of, well, he'll never let it get that far. Now, I do think that there are some breakpoints here. They give you fires, Mueller. I don't think he's got the political cover to do that yet. What's interesting to me, you know, and I saw that Leslie Stahl thing yesterday, too, and I was taken aback by that. Like, of course, this is what this is. But people are not going to believe Leslie Stahl because she's Leslie Stahl from CBS News in 60 Minutes. And, of course, she's going to lie, you know, because that's what we do in the press, is we just lie to people to, you know, fit the benefit of you know, people who want to steal from them. You know, that's
and
the
it's
way
such
that,
a lazy perspective, might I add, well, by anyone who's not willing to click three other stories to actually find the truth.
But I think what we're on today, with the interesting thing today, is that there's this meeting that's going to take place tomorrow at the White House, where the president and then two Republicans, Ged Nunez and Trey Gowdy.
No, that's today. That meeting's today.
Is it today? Okay.
No, it is tomorrow. I'm sorry. You're right. It is tomorrow.
Don't ever question me, Steve.
Actually, between 6 and 10, all you do is get questioned here.
Just ask Justin how that ends.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, the point is that this meeting is going to take place. No Democrats are going to be. It's just going to be Republicans. It's going to be the FBI. It's not going to be Rosenstein, which is interesting. They're sending another guy. They're sending Rosenstein's junior, the guy right below him. And they're all going to go through this intelligence that you know, some of the investigative stuff that they have. And, you know, I mean, I look at it, and the legal analysts I've talked to look at it and say, wait, he's getting the questions before he takes the test with Mueller, which is really not 100% true, because this is all stuff that the FBI has, not necessarily that Mueller has. Mueller has a sequestered investigation going on. So it may not be the same thing. But here's the thing. With no Democrats there, can the Republicans be trusted? And I think Trey Gowdy can be.
Trey Gowdy does seem to have a semblance of a soul. I can't accuse Devin Nunez of that.
No.
You're going to be picking this up this afternoon after 3 with Anna DeVlantis and the kids starting at 3 o'clock today.
That's true. Sometimes we have to put the kids, send them up to do their homework during these conversations.
By the way, we don't have time to discuss this, but we're last Friday at the Walk of Fame. Mm-hmm. There were a couple pictures being taken. So Violetta Padromedic takes out her phone. Mm-hmm. And I said, I can take a picture for you. She goes, no. And she turned to, I don't even remember who it was. She turned to, like, I think it was one of our sports guys, maybe, and hands the phone to him. I go, what are you doing? She goes, oh, you don't, no, I'm not letting you see what's in my phone. So run with that today. What is in Violetta's phone that I can't see?
I know. Violetta once told me, she goes, oh, I erase every text when it comes in. I'm like, the FBI still gets them.
What kind of life is she leading?
I don't know.
If it was a sports guy, I can find out.
I'm like,
I think it was Mark Carmen. Carmen? Okay, I'll ask Carmen.
Because we have a group text, like the 30 or 40 times a day, there's something goes out on our group text. And I was like, didn't you get it? She goes, well, I just erase every text when it comes in. I'm like, what? No! Go back. No.
Yes, we need to see and read your work.
The spontaneity of radio broadcast.
Yeah. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you.
Thanks.
That's Ro County's on today at 3.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind. Don't you mean that much to me?
Politics tomorrow with the usual suspects. Sam, are any other guests I ought to be plugging for tomorrow's show? Your Pat Brady, your Eric Edelstein. We'll kick the politics around in the 7 o'clock hour, as always.
Lots to talk about.
But yeah, never a shortage.
The highlight of tomorrow is at 9:10, our favorite Ennett, Lindsay.
Oh, Lindsay's coming in.
We'll be in studio.
Oh, that's great.
Talk. I think our second favorite Ennett will also be here, but...
I don't know. I like Steven.
I hope I'm number 2. I don't know.
I like Steven and I like your wife. I think you're fourth.
I think I'm well off. Yeah. I'm probably my fourth favorite, too, yeah, so that makes sense. No,
okay. Oh, wait, I like Ozzie, my dad, too. Ozzy in it.
Ooh, fifth.
Ozzy, yeah.
Fall.
Anyway, Lindsay, she'll be your rib fest kicks off, so we're going to be talking some ribs.
Oh, nice.
Tomorrow on the program, please listen, and thank you for listening today. And the Bill and Wendy Show are next. Bill and Wendy are here. How are you two?
Fine, Steve. How are you two?
I think one of the most disturbing things that came up in the show today, and this is more Wendy for your husband, is the fact that Chewbacca was called an actor.
No.
I think that's acting. You don't think that's acting?
Mm-mm.
Really? I give him credit.
Why not? I mean,
it's totally acting.
Yeah, it is acting.
Why are you down on Chewbacca? I don't get it.
How many people in the room have been in movies, Bill and I?
Well,
here's the standard.
I had a small part in a movie.
Oh, yeah. So everybody but Justin and Dave?
No, I have two.
I auditioned.
There's a point you start, there's a point you finish, and something has to happen between those two points more than walking and making that noise.
There's a great scene, though.
No, that's too high.
There's
that's
a great
better.
Scene in the original Star Wars where Chewbacca gets mad and he slaps the table and he wants to beat up the droid. And there's anger.
It's harder to act.
Sir Laurence Olivier? Is that who you're thinking of?
Yes.
It's harder to act when there's no dialogue. So is quite an actor.
Put Meryl Streep in a costume, I'll call Chewbacca an actor.
She almost played it, Steve.
You what?
Know that, so she came very close to
Meryl
playing
Streep
that role.
Was originally going to be Chewbacca?
Almost got the part.
Well, Chewie had a wife. Right?
Yeah.
You guys remember in my band, Chewie had a wife?
That's a stretch because he's a tall one.
There is a Star Wars variety show that was done on YouTube. Christmas special. And there is a whole scene in there that is the Chewbacca family, which is the scariest thing. My son, who's all into Star Wars, is like, I'm scared.
Ozzy and Harry.
Very weird scene.
Do you ever get tired of Star Wars because of your husband?
I ignore it.
Like all wives do of their husband's thing.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you tomorrow.